The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Memorial Day. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Safe Spaces.
Thanks as always to our presenting sponsor, OCB Rolling Papers. OCB only uses natural acacia gum for an always sticks experience. Enjoy the show.
It's Thursday, May 27th, 2021, and my guests in this month's bonus ep are Open Mike Eagle, Rhett Reese, and Michael Rianda.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Let's meet them individually and alphabetically, starting with Open. Mike Eagle is back. Hey, dude.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. You were just on Getting Done with High, which we do exclusively over on Patreon. So I'm excited to have you on this show that gets
that's
much
right.
More.
Unleash me from the paywall. Yeah. Let me at the people.
There's no reason to keep Open Mike Eagle behind a paywall. Mm-mm. And your podcast is called What Had Happened Was.
That's true. That's what it's called.
And we talked about that on the other show, but do you want to just quickly tell people what it is so they can check it out?
So it's a music interview show, but each season is devoted to one individual. So we're on season two right now, where every episode we are interviewing LP of Run the Jewels and Company Flow fame. And the first season was interviewing Prince Paul, who did De La Soul and Handsome Boy Modeling School. So we get to deep dive on every one of their projects, and people tend to love it because they love those albums and they want to hear all the backstories and inside jokes and such.
Yeah, that sounds great. How long does a season is just one artist, but like how many episodes is that?
12 episodes so far in both seasons.
Wow. And you're just going, do you know who season three is going to be, or is that, how do you decide?
Well, there's only a handful of people who really make sense, because they have to have done, you know, so many different projects that it's like, that it makes sense for 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a long list of people it could be. I started taping season three, but I can't say who it is yet, because my PR people would be really mad if I just do it without sending out a press release. They'll be real pissed.
Yeah, of course. And now we just had a terrific tease, but listen to this season, because LP must have a lot of amazing stuff to say.
Yes, but he smokes a lot of marijuana while we're recording. So his memory is spotty at best, but it's still very entertaining to watch him try to piece it together.
All right. Also joining us today, we got a couple of first timers. Rhett Reese is here, co-writer of Deadpool, Deadpool 2, but enough about them. Wayne, my favorite thing.
Oh, man, you're the best.
How's it going, Rhett?
Good, good. I cannot
thank you enough for your support of Wayne. You are a one-man army, and we appreciate it greatly.
Well, I'll say it again right now. If you're not watching Wayne on Prime, I don't know what your problem is. It's probably the second most entertaining thing after finishing this podcast you're listening to now. But I just fell in love with that show immediately. You know, it was one of those ones where once it got to the close to the end, me and my girlfriend we just couldn't watch the last episode because we didn't want it to be over. And, but moving on from that, because I mean, it's still, there's nothing to say really, as far as it's still in limbo, as far as making more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think frankly, we're kind of on the ropes. Like we need more and more views and more support. And we're trying to find that where we can, but we're not dead yet. So hanging in.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear. I'm on it. I tweet about it every Wednesday, Wayne Wednesday. And I think nobody watches it and comes to me and says, "Hey, why'd you recommend that crap?" Like everybody comes to me and says that's their new favorite thing after they watch it, and they thank me. So that makes me feel good. It's just good all around to support Wayne. And also joining us today is a gentleman who, it doesn't matter what I think of his movie, because it is blowing up all over. Number one on Netflix since the day it opened, and for like at least a week, maybe 10 days or more. And it's called The Mitchells versus The Machines, a great, great animated movie. And we have the director of this Netflix sensation, Michael Rianda. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, no, you're saying it right. Thank you. I love this podcast. I've been on board for years. Last Man Stanton, Leonard Maltin game. I've been listening for years. So it's like, it's a true honor to be on it. I love it.
You know all the code words. That's pretty cool.
I know. I've got all these strategies for the games. I'm like really beaked up. I've been listening to back catalog, just training.
Well, I hope you've been listening to the Zoom episodes, because that's the kind of games we're playing right now. Because
weird algorithm. I'm in.
Yeah, it's shifted to. We'll see when I start doing it in front of a live audience again. But things have kind of shifted to games where, people can guess, because some of the games are so hard that like it's fun in front of a studio audience to make somebody sweat a little bit. But but when we can't even see the person, they're just sitting there quietly, sadly trying to, come up with something they're never going to think of. It's just, the games are just a little bit more accessible, I hope.
Yeah.
But your movie's great. Are they already? There must already be talk of a sequel.
They're trying. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. We're sort of talking about it a little bit. And I like that it has. For a while, it wasn't called Versus the Machines. It had a different title. But I like the Versus, because you can have it be about aliens or time travel or fighting an army of clones or anything stupid like that. So I think there could be a cool sequel.
Yeah, there's so many things to fight. Yeah, I think
loneliness
could pull that off.
But have you death? Sorry.
So in the interim, because I don't know how long between finishing The Mitchells and it showing up on Netflix, there probably is a bit of a window there.
It was like we finished like 4 months ago or something. So I've just kind of been hanging around, stressing out, shaking in a corner, hoping that people liked it. So I'm glad it's gone over relatively well.
You must
good.
Have found out like right away. You must have been seeing the positive comments. You know, like the movie premiered on a Friday and was number one by Saturday, I think.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, it was awesome. And it's so weird, because Netflix is like, it's so intangible because you're not at a movie theater and all that stuff. But it was like, it's been really gratifying. But it's like the main way I sort of interact with people seeing it is, instead of them being in an audience, they're like talking about it on Twitter. But thank God they like it and they're saying nice things for the most part.
Yeah, and who knows? Like, I would imagine you could get it on some screens at some point, just because people love it so much and would love to see it in a theater.
Yeah, I think that's the I that's my hope for, like, maybe, you know, in the fall or something, maybe we could get a little mini screening.
Or just, you know, if they just pick a weekend where there's not a big animated movie coming out, you could be that weekend's big animated movie, because not everybody has Netflix.
So
more people who see it, the better. I love it, and I recommend it to people, as I do, obviously, Wayne. And
go see what I also, by the way, I also love Wayne. I'm going to throw another support, more support at Wayne.
Let's check in with Open Mike Eagle. Have you seen Wayne on Prime?
I haven't even heard of it, so I'm not going to pretend to be familiar with it at all.
This is the kind of honesty we need right now, because the fact that people haven't heard of Wayne is the problem. We need to get to spread the word. But if you feel, you know, no pressure, but if you feel like checking it out, you know, send me a message and let me know how much you love it.
I really appreciate it, guys. And Mike, I'm sorry I haven't seen The Mitchells yet. It is literally at the top of our queue. I've got a 2-year-old boy. He saw the thumbnail. He was ready to roll. We're ready to roll. And I know Phil and Chris, and I apologize for not getting to it far. But
no problem. When we were making it, I remember we turned in a draft that was like too intense. And the executive, who I really like, was like, watch Zombieland. This is too like, think more fun. So I remember me and my the co-writer, co-director watching Zombieland and having like the time of our lives. We're like, we should make it more like Zombieland.
Yes, we should say that Rhett co-wrote both of the Zombieland movies as well, right?
Yep, that was us.
And now you're going to take on, you're making a new version of a Clue movie?
That is in the works as well. Though Knives Out stole a tiny bit of our thunder, I'm not going to lie, but for good reason. It's the best darn thing ever. So,
but also that it's reviving the idea of a whodunit. So it seems kind of also perfect in a way.
True. I think when someone succeeds in your space that's a little close to you, sometimes it can be a threat, but sometimes it can be a boon, because, you know, people, it proves that there's an audience for a certain thing.
Yeah. And I'm the audience for the new Clue, because I argue with people all the time about the old Clue. it's a divisive movie. So make one that everybody loves, please. Which is so easy to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break now that we've chatted with everybody. We're ready to move on to the next portion of the show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and it's time to visit Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask each one of my guests to recommend one movie, and one movie only, that, you know, people are always like, well, based on what? Well, based on just, you think if you said it to an absolute stranger and they went and watched it, they would be enriched and have a great time. Or have a terrible time, but the enriched part. who would like to go first?
Wow.
No, I would not. I would not like to go first.
I'll dip my toe in the water. An older movie, and I say this because we've been on a Ted Lasso binge, and I'm just reminded. I hear Schitt's Creek is similar, but I'm reminded how wonderful it can be to watch a movie where everyone's a good guy, basically. I mean, it just makes you feel good about the world, and it's not angsty. So I'm going to go back to a movie called Once. It was an Irish movie from about 10 years ago, musical. Just wonderful story about musicians. Everybody who graces the screen is a good person. There's just so much love flowing out of that movie and the music. And you just need a little Once in your life. If you're anxious or if you're stressed or depressed, it's that kind of movie.
It's beautiful. The songs are great. It's a real life, musician. They're both musicians, the two leads. So they do all their own singing and playing. And of course, it became a Broadway musical. And the guy who won the Tony for playing the lead in the Broadway musical is a friend of mine who's been on Doug Lowe's movies.
Oh, that's awesome.
Named Steve Kazee. But the movie that the show is based on is terrific. And you should check it out.
Yeah, it sent me to Ireland. I went to Ireland right after I saw the movie. I fell in love with it so much. And then I very coincidentally ran into the writer-director, John Carney, on the street, right where Glenn Hansard plays his guitar to start the movie. I look up and John Carney's walking right down the street toward me. And I was like, this is karma of the worst way. And I turned to him, introduced myself. It was an amazing moment. You got to see that movie. Go check it out.
What credits did you use when you introduced yourself?
I didn't have anything. This is a long time ago. Like I think I dropped the Joe Schmo show maybe, but I did. I was trying to fake it till I made it because Zombieland hadn't been made. So,
well, that's great that you met him. And I am a huge fan of that guy because, all of his movies have been about the creation of music, which I think is one of the tougher things to depict, dramatically in film. And, he's done it over and over again because Sing Street is also terrific. And I also liked his movie Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo. Who's next? Who wants to go next?
I'll go now.
Okay.
Because I need time to think because my brain works slow. And it's funny because just the anxiety I got from you asking a very simple question reminds me of why I don't do the best at the games on the show. I think the reason why is I can only ever remember the last movie I saw, Doug. That's all I can ever remember. So I'm going to recommend A Promising Young Woman because it's the last movie I saw and I thought it was good.
That's all we need. I mean, is good. I think you and I are opposites because if someone just goes quick, what was the last movie you saw? I can never access it right away because I'm just watching movies all the time.
But Doug, I couldn't even do that quickly. I'm just saying it's all I had. And it took me a while to even get to that.
Well, it is a very good movie. It won, Best Original Screenplay at the Oscars this year. And it's not, I think they kind of, I don't know. It's a hard movie to market.
I was thinking the same thing because I saw it after, I wanted to go to the theaters because I realized more of them were open and I saw the trailer and I was like, okay, that looks interesting. But the trailer is nothing like the movie. It's nothing like it at all. The trailer is like the first 10 minutes of a completely different movie that movie is kind of pretending to be before it actually starts.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to such interesting places. I wish they'd, they should have taken, it's from the Emerald Fennell does the Killing Eve TV show. Mm-hmm. And the visuals in both that her movie and the TV show are so striking. I think they could have cut together a trailer like without dialogue and with just lots of interesting shots. And they shouldn't, I don't know, I guess you can't really make it look like it's going to be fun because then people are going to be disappointed because it's certainly not fun.
Yeah, it's
But there's a stylishness to it that I think, maybe they could have played on that some more. I don't know. But
it kind of reminded me of like Get Out or like Sorry to Bother You, like movies that are taking on these big themes, but using like kind of movie tropes to filter the themes through. It was really interesting. I hadn't seen anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. Who's left? Michael, you haven't recommended something yet.
Yeah, I've been like hold up making this movie, so I had like a long list of things to watch, and one of the ones that I've never seen before is I watched Thief, the Michael Mann movie, and it like blew my hair off. Like I was like on fire after I watched it. It's so powerful, and like it's so cool to see Michael Mann like digging in to like something so specific. Like, oh, we're gonna learn like all the mechanics of how to break a safe. But like, because it's so specific, it's really interesting. And I love that movie. So that was like the last movie I saw that I was like really shattered by. Shattered? I don't know.
It's funny that this happened because, you know, last week or the last show, I think, I did a game where all the answers were James Caan movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not have had three guests who knew, they could not have... I don't feel like they knew anything about James Caan at all. Like they didn't even know he was in The Godfather. and then finally at the end, I'm like, all right, guys, come on. And name the movie where, you know, it's a horror movie, Stephen King, Kathy Bates. I described Misery practically from beginning to end before they could even come up with that.
I was screaming when I heard that. I was like, it's Misery.
Yeah, that was really surprising to me. But, you know, they are great guests and nice people. So thank you for these recommendations. I think all of these movies are terrific. Like the thing about Thief is like, that was one of the first movies I saw where I was like, oh man, there's so much that can be done with visuals and tone.
Yeah.
You know, that at that time, certainly a lot of movies weren't doing. And like you said, it's a Michael Mann movie. So it's really about mood, and yeah. it's really well done.
Yeah, it's the best. It's also like the best James Caan I've ever seen, and he's good in everything. And that's like he was like lighting it up.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody loves him. They love Jimmy the Dream. All right, now it's time to start playing some games, and we're going to start with Rolling With It. You'll like this open mic presented by OCB Rolling Papers.
Hey, that seems very appropriate.
Right? I've been doing this show for so long, and finally a rolling paper company said, hey, we want to sponsor it. And I was like, all right, I'll try to get a movie company to sponsor my weed show, I guess. Today's show is presented by OCB Rolling Papers. OCB is the largest rolling paper brand in the world and has been one with nature, crafted naturally since 1918. So you know they've perfected the process for a consistently great session time after time. In perfect harmony with nature, sustainable practices, the highest quality textile papers reasonably sourced and sustainably crafted have always been the OCB signature. OCB offers a full line of papers made with sustainable fibers, including flax, wood, organic hemp, bamboo, virgin, and come in a full line of sizes in both booklets and cones. No GMOs, no chlorine, and no dyes in OCB papers. All OCB papers are plant to puff. OCB makes their own paper from their mill in Avion to the factories they own in Perpignan. I don't know how to say it, but it's in France. With all fibers and packaging materials sustainably farmed from within a 500-kilometer radius, and the Always Sticks Acacia gum grown in African fields that OCB has been reforesting for decades. Unlike most other brands that buy their paper from a third party, OCB oversees the entire paper-making process, ensuring a century of quality straight to your hands. And best of all, their paper booklets are made in a facility that's powered by 100% green energy. That's awesome. In 2020, OCB rolled out America's first ultra-thin, slow-burning bamboo rolling paper and cones that have been taking the market by storm. Using only unbleached French-milled bamboo, OCB is aiming to make bamboo your second favorite plant. As always, they are harvested responsibly, highly sustainable, chlorine-free, dye-free, bleach-free, even burning, GMO-free, and
vegan. Ask for OCB wherever you buy your papers and sample the entire line of products. In the meantime, OCB has an unreal deal for our listeners. Visit OCBUSA.com/Doug to get 4 booklets of OCB and a rolling tray for only $4.99. This bundle is worth $20. Limited time only. Follow OCB on Instagram. That's at OCBUSA to stay in touch with the natural wonder of OCB. Must be 21 plus to buy our papers and follow our social accounts. Back to the show.
But this is a super fun game that we've been playing because it was invented because they asked us, OCB Rolling Papers was like, hey, just play a game that we can sponsor. So this is called Rolling With It. And basically, it's a game where you're challenged to name as many movies as you can by a particular actor or actress. So I will tell, Mike Eagle gets to go first. I will give you, the name of an actor. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to say that, you know, bluffing's probably a big way to play here. Because okay. Once I tell you this actor, based on our conversation, I don't know how many movies you're going to know that this person is in.
Right.
But the premise of the game is you say, you bid how many you think you can name. Like I can name 4 movies that this person was in 60 seconds, you know, a minute, a loose minute. And then it goes to Rhett, and whatever amount of movies you say you can name from this person, Rhett can either challenge you to do that and get the point if you fail, or he can add more names, and then it moves down to Michael, and it goes like that until somebody's challenged and actually attempts this. And just to give you a perspective, there's a lot of rounds where the bidding only goes as high as 3 or 4 movies because I'm not picking actors that are in 1,000 things. So it's a little bit strategic, and let's give it a go.
Okay.
Love it.
I'm extremely nervous.
Mike, the films of Paul Bettany. How many Paul Bettany films can you name? And this is fun. I can use the world of television to explain who Paul Bettany is. He's on the show WandaVision.
Yep. I can name I can name 3 Paul Bettany movies.
That's a great opening bid. Now we go to Rhett, and you can say 4, 5, 6, however many you think you can name, or challenge Mike to name those 3.
Yeah,
he's got 60 seconds though.
I can name 4.
That's a great bid. It's 1 more than 3. Michael Rianda.
I certainly cannot name 5, so go for it.
All right, Rhett, we're going to put a minute on the clock, and you'll get 1 point if you can name 4 Paul Bettany movies, and Michael will get a point if you can't.
Okay.
Hang on a second, and I'm also going to – I'll count them down. As you say them, I'll say the number just so everybody can keep track, so just – take a breath in between. I don't know if you're going to race through these or not. Ryan, our producer Ryan's got the clock ready to go. So your time starts now.
Okay. The 4 that I can name, Master and Commander.
Full title?
Master and Commander or The Far Side of the World. now you're getting me because I don't
know. Okay, that's one. That's one. Keep going.
Wimbledon.
2.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
3.
And Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, you can't throw a dart at an Avengers movie without hitting him because he's the voice of Jarvik in the very first Iron Man. So he's in pretty much every Marvel, not every Marvel movie, but certainly everyone with the Avengers or Iron Man. But you did it. Congratulations.
God damn it.
That was amazing.
Thank you. I don't know how I got Wimbledon. That's the one.
That was very impressive.
Look, Master and Commander is one of my favorite movies. Even though I can't remember the tag, whatever the second part of the title was.
Yeah, it's Master and Commander: The Far Side of the World.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. which recently people started that came up on Twitter. People were talking about, like, there's some real Master and Commander stands out there. There's some people that are super into it. All right, what happened? So Rhett got the point, and Michael is the one who challenged him. So Open Mic Elo gets to go first again, but this time Michael is second in line. We switched the order around. Mike, the films of Christopher Lee.
Oh,
how
gosh.
Many Christopher Lee movies do you think you can name?
I'm going to go with two. I'm going to go with two.
I think that's a really, really smart opening bid.
I like that. Thank you for the validation. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It hasn't happened yet, but it'd be fun if somebody just goes, I'm going to start the bidding at zero.
I was close, but, believe me.
Yeah. But Michael, what do you think?
I've only got three.
But that's, so that's your bid, three?
Yeah, three.
Okay, Rhett?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm going to have to call you out and say prove the three, because I can't. I mean, like, I could bluff, but I certainly couldn't come close if anyone called me on four, and I figured somebody would. So what are the three, I guess?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, should I just go?
Yeah, I don't think you need 60 seconds.
Okay, yeah. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah. You know what, though? Here's the thing, Mike. I could not have named the three, you know. I can't get the back half of a movie title. I would have been like, Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3. I don't remember their names.
Yeah, you would have been like, Smaug or something.
Certainly couldn't have gotten a fourth either. Who knows? I said I kind of picture Christopher Lee in like a Dracula outfit from something, but that was all I had.
I couldn't think of a fourth to save my life. What else is he in?
Well, he's Count Dooku in
Oh, man.
I knew there was another bigger.
Yeah.
No, the beloved Count Dooku.
Yeah, he's tough and easy at the same time. You have to go way back. You have to be like old school film buff to name all of his horror movies and stuff that he was in. But one of my favorite performances of his is he plays a Nazi in Steven Spielberg's 1941. And it's very funny watching him deal with Slim Pickens plays this guy that ends up on a Nazi sub, or a Japanese sub that has a Nazi on it. It's complicated. Remember 1941?
I've never seen it.
Okay, so, yeah, Mike, Open Mike hasn't seen that movie for a long time, so he doesn't remember it. You got to go first again.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, because Rhett and Michael each have 1 point, so we're going to give this next name to Open Mike, and then...
I should bid a blind five. But I'm not gonna do that.
I love that idea.
Somebody who's confident should do that one day.
Because also, this first game doesn't really matter. It's just like kind of a warm up. So, but what would you like? Would you want me to give you the name?
Sure.
Okay, and then it's gonna go to Rhett to challenge you or add more names. The actor Lou Gossett Jr.
Should have gone with five.
Right? I was sitting here going, I think he'd do pretty well in Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, I'm bad with titles. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with two again.
Okay. Let's see what Rhett does with that.
I imagine he's going to add to it.
Lou Gossett Jr. I'll go three.
Ooh, Michael.
I don't think I could do one. So name it.
All right. I could be wrong here. I'm going to go Enemy Mine.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's one.
Good call.
Iron Eagle.
Two.
And I think the movie that made him famous, am I wrong? Officer and a Gentleman?
Yeah, I won the Oscar for that one.
Yeah, nice. I lucked out there because I only know three. I don't know any more beyond that.
I was going to say Iron Eagle and Iron Eagle 2.
Yeah. So Iron Eagle too. But that probably has a tagline again, like, or whatever.
Oh, I thought he would accept it tagless.
He did for me, so.
I mean, you know, I can't deny, Iron Mike Eagle.
Oh, God.
Well, you guys are in luck because the tiebreaker was going to be Jack McBrayer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been from various television shows. Yeah.
That would have been
him from the TV show, but I don't know if I can't remember a movie I've seen him in.
I think there's been a few, but I would definitely go for the Ralph movies, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh.
But yeah, he was on the 30 Rock for so long that was the main thing that he was doing for a while.
He was also on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Right.
Every episode, him and, oh gosh, he do Knock Knock Joke of the Day.
I don't know Gabba Gabba.
Oh, you must.
Yeah, so I couldn't tell you.
Hardcore 2010s parenting will give you a deep Yo Gabba Gabba experience. It was a great show,
which is like way better than most of the other stuff, as I understand.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
As kids stuff goes, it's pretty good. All right, so Rhett won that game, and I'll tell you what you won after these messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and our big winner, Rhett Reese, gets to go first in our second and final game today. It's a little something called Parental Guidance. Have you heard this one, Michael?
No, I've not. I don't know it.
Okay. So I'm sorry that you trained for today, and I'm bringing out
a
game.
It served me so well in the last game.
Yeah, I really throwing you a curveball here, but this is a fun game though, and it's anybody. I wouldn't even be able to guess which one of you is going to do the best because it's so random. I'm going to read random parental warnings and advice about a particular. About a particular movie, you know, like if you just, I mean, there's lots of places that do it on the internet. I like the ones on IMDb. It's basically, it's just the most ridiculous stuff that they just casually break it down so that parents can, you know, I mean, any of you that are parents, you know what we're talking about here.
I love this game already.
Yeah. So it's basically what are the things that are not for children in a movie? can hearing those things, can you recognize the movie is basically how this game works. The clues start off very difficult, and then the fourth clue should give it away. So the person who goes first gets both. First you get the hardest clue, but then if the next two clues aren't enough for the other players to get it, then you get the fourth and giveaway clue. Each person's going to get a chance to go first, but since Rhett won that game, he gets to go first now. The first thing that is written about this movie for parental guidance is that there is no sex or nudity. There's a barely hinted at romance between old friends, but nothing more.
Oh man.
What movie? I know it's just a shot in the dark, but holy cow, do people get excited if you happen to name the movie that has no sex or nudity, but there is a barely hinted at romance between old friends. I don't even know if they're old people. I assume they're just old friends that are youngish people.
I'll get my bad guess out of the way because I have no idea. Sleepless in Seattle.
I think romance is more than hinted at.
That's a good point. I thought maybe some of the minor characters might have had a romance. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is I play extremely hard games and then criticize your answer. Okay, so let's move on to the second one. So that means that Michael Rianda gets the second clue. And of course, you already heard the first one. So you factor the two together. And let's see if I could not knock my recording device on the floor. Okay. This movie, in addition to no sex or nudity, has typical old-fashioned cigar smoking.
Okay.
Yeah, terrible clue.
let's see. Relationship between old friends. Wowzers. Barely hinted at. I don't even have a guess that's close, but to keep it moving... I'm gonna say any movie that involves cigar smoke. The only one I can think of is Barton Fink, and that isn't it. But I'm going with it, Barton Fink.
I love that.
I gotta say it out loud. Close, but no cigar.
Oh, that's good.
Although that movie did have a lot of cigar smoking in it, didn't? What's his name? Didn't he smoke a cigar a lot in it? Here's clue number three. For Mike Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
A penguin slaps another penguin just for laughs.
I'm going to guess Madagascar.
Fantastic guess. I apologize for misleading you. Back to Rhett with the final.
Who needs to be warned about a penguin slapping another penguin in the face?
Because it's just for laughs. You don't want your children like seeing that slapping somebody is funny.
I guess.
I know these are
for nerds.
It gets really bad sometimes. I write down some of the bad ones, but some of them I just go, I can't even say that out loud. All right, but this one is the giveaway one, so Rhett should secure the point here. At one point, the Banks children get lost in the slums of the East End of London.
The Banks children.
Yes, you got no sex or nudity, cigar smoking, penguins slapping each other, and the Banks children lost in the slums of the East End of London. I thought that would just give it away.
I'll say Mary Poppins.
That is correct.
Oh, right. There's penguins and Mary Poppins?
I mean, yeah, that was my issue. Penguins?
They're animated.
Yeah, there's that whole, Dick Van Dyke dances with the penguins.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
And they slap each other for laughs.
I had no idea. I only got that because I thought of Saving Mr. Banks. That was the only Banks I could think. And that was about the making of Mary Poppins. So I tried Mary Poppins. Otherwise, I would have completely whiffed.
Yeah, well, that's, that clue was meant for you to do just that. So thank you for doing that and getting 1 point. We'll move on to the second round, starting with this is Michael versus the Machines.
Got it. Love it.
That's got to be a headline of like an article about you.
there are no articles about me.
I mean, I'm looking into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like John Krasinski, before the first Quiet Place came out. Well, he was already famous. Never mind. who's going first? Oh, Michael. One of the main characters is pregnant.
I'm gonna say mother with an exclamation point.
Oh, that's it. Great guess. I'm a little triggered by that movie, but okay. Mother. That's how you have to say it, because it's got an exclamation point right there. Like, what if that guy who made that, Aronofsky, what if he just just put an exclamation point at the end of every movie he makes? Noah! Mike Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, a raccoon is abruptly flattened.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Pregnancy and raccoons. That's a tough Venn diagram for my brain.
I mean, there shouldn't be any movies with both those things, but there is at least one.
Wow. Flattened raccoon. I'm gonna say National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Great guess. Incorrect.
Yeah, I thought so.
I love any time that movie gets mentioned. Makes me smile. The third clue. This one goes to Rhett. Is while in a bathtub and in labor, blood is seen pouring from a woman's vagina, but no nudity is shown.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's one of those, you know, no nudity, bloody vaginas.
Oh, man.
I don't know how they pull that off.
I'm completely at a loss. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
No. This next one for Michael should give you the point. Emily Blunt cleavage at around the 20-minute mark.
It's like Mr. Skin. Is it A Quiet Place?
That is correct.
Nice.
All right, so we got a third round, and Mike Eagle gets to start us off. You ready, Mike?
Is there ever been anybody to be on the show and end the show with 0 points? That ever happened before?
Well, there's no
real, know A Quiet Place. Did anyone know A Quiet Place before the fourth clue?
No, I had no idea.
I still didn't know after the fourth one.
Yeah.
Nor did I.
But I also just almost just started having a conversation about that movie. Like I started talking about John Krasinski.
That's what tipped me off.
And I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't be talking about this right now. It's a little helpful. But here's your first. Well, Mike, you know, this is your chance to get no points because if it comes,
you could live the dream.
Yeah, it might come back around to you and you might. But let's see if you can get a point with the very first. Maybe some movie will spring into your head that's the correct answer. Probably not, though, because we see a woman laying on a bed in a very lewd outfit, supposedly murdered.
Sorry,
so not only. So it's terribly written, that sentence. We see a woman lying on a bed in a very lewd outfit, supposedly murdered. So I guess it's a dead body in a sexy outfit.
I'm going to say Cool World.
That's a good guess. That could, I think that probably did happen.
It probably did.
Yeah.
I was 9. I don't know. You can tell me anything happened in that movie, I'd believe you.
Oh, did you? You were 9, but somebody, a parental figure, thought it's animated. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. That was my argument. I knew it wasn't okay. But dang it, I wanted to watch it.
All right. Rhett, here's your second clue to go with the naked, lewd dead body. A man and a woman are kissing to blend into the crowd. Classic, wow. Classic trick in movies. Let's kiss, and then the people looking for us won't notice us.
Oh,
doesn't seem like that would work, but okay.
Oh gosh, I'm going to say The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Another. That's the thing about this, you guys. If I could just give points for great guesses, you would all be killing it. But that is incorrect. So, Michael, what do you think of this clue?
Man,
Jack is stabbed in the eye with electronic equipment.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, who the hell is Jack? And why is he stabbed in the eye?
So, dead body in lewd clothes And the second one was, what was the second one?
Kissing.
They're kissing.
Oh, Kissing the Blend In with the Crown?
Blend. The old Kiss Blend.
I don't know who gets stabbed in the eye in a movie. I don't have a good guess, so I'm going to say The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Nope. That's not it. Here's the last clue and the chance for Mike to get a point. Mm. This should give it away. Boy, I mean, just the way they write it is I'll just say it. The famous scene where Ethan is trying to get the NOC list in a very controlled room is intense and suspenseful.
I'll tell you, Doug. Is Doug short for Douglas? I have no idea. I have zero clue.
It's short for you call me Douglas if you're mad at me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not upset with you, but I just wanted to shoot straight, you know. I got no clue. I don't know who Ethan or Jack, or I don't know what an NOC is. So I'm just gonna say Fight Club because I know it's wrong.
That is wrong. So you get the you knew it was wrong point.
So you don't have zero. That's one.
It's very coveted, that point in this game. And but unfortunately, the correct answer maybe Rhett or Michael.
I do have a guess, Mike. I sure you do have a guess.
I mean, I have a guess. Sure. Yeah.
You both have a guess. How about you both say it at the same time?
Okay. We'll go 3, 2, 1, then say it. Okay. 3, 2, 1, Mission Impossible.
Impossible.
Nice. That is correct. Wow. How do we settle this tie now? Or do we need to? You know what I mean? Do we just agree that we all had fun here today and leave it at that?
I can go down with a gentleman's tie.
Yeah. It's like kissing your sister in a crowd so as not to be noticed.
We could like set up a rematch, you know, in a few weeks or months, maybe. I don't know what your schedules are like, but, you know, maybe even bring back open mic, you know, so you have the same spoiler in there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I will 100% come back even more prepared and do equally not that great.
That's all I could ask for. I appreciate all of you being here today. Let's do some plugs, starting with the man with the most not points today. The most not points goes to Mike Eagle, and he's got a podcast. We talked about it a while ago.
If you keep a list of winners of this show for this episode, you should put that I didn't. That's the clear outcome. But yes, the podcast is called What Had Happened Was. New episodes every Wednesday on my podcast network, Stony Island Audio. And you can find it wherever you find the podcasts that you like to listen to.
Terrific. Thank you for being here. Michael Rianda. What else? Let's just say it again. The Mitchells versus the Machines. Watch it on Netflix.
I only have that one thing. But I will say, let's keep it going, guys. Tell your friends. Watch it several times. I hear that matters. But yeah, no, that's kind of the only thing. But check it out. It's fun. And watch with your family.
Yeah, it's family friendly. But the, like, I like that the... like when you know how Netflix, if you sit and look at anything for more than a couple seconds, it's like, well, just watch it now. And they just start watch part of it. And the scene that they automatically go to from the movie is I really like it because it does. It implies that it's more intense than it ends up being. But
yeah,
I like that, you know.
Yeah, they know where their bread's buttered.
And Rhett Reese, watch Wayne, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you took it out of my mouth. We need you there in a big way. We do have a film coming out in the fall on Netflix called Escape from Spiderhead. I'm a little loath to plug it because I think the title might change. There's at least some talk that the title might change, but it stars Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller. And so that one should come out fall or winter, something like that.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. And we should say your writing partner's name.
Yes, Paul Wernick.
Paul Wernick.
Sad that he could not be here, but he is my better half.
Does he like doing this sort of thing?
I think so. He's game for this kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, if he's into it, I'd love to have him on. But, you know, I hate dragging people into it because then they just sit here the whole time going, "I'm not getting any points."
It is fun to not get points. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
it was a damn good time.
Yeah, it does. It does make the heart swell. Rhett, I have a specific question for you here at the end of the show, because every episode. Oh, I should mention my plug real quick. This Saturday, May 29th, I'll be doing sets in both shows at Jam in the Van in West LA. Google it. At the end of every episode, I say a line, the last line from a movie, because, you know, there's only a few really famous last lines and then lots of, you know, good ones and then some okay ones. And then a lot that are just like, all right, I'll see you later. Like just the most bland last line. And so my question for you, Rhett Reese, is what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite last line from the films you've written so far?
Oh my gosh. You know, that's interesting. I'm not even sure if you sat here and gave me a fill in the blank, I could, even if I sat for a while, I could tell you what the last lines are. Even Deadpool, I don't think I can remember the last line. It had something to do with Careless Whisper and Wham, but I'm ashamed. I can't think of one. Oh, I mean, oh, I think Columbus in Zombieland does say something like, "This is Columbus, Ohio from Zombieland saying good night," or something like that. But I'm a disgrace.
But it's interesting to me that, like, of course you don't, you know, necessarily know the last lines, because for one thing, during the entire process of writing and making it, that line might have, you know, altered and changed. And but they are also, a lot of times it's not, you know, nobody's perfect, you know, they can't.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. I would be interested, frankly, to go back and look at our first draft of every screenplay we did and then look at the corresponding movie and see if the line ended up staying the line. I mean, I would guess in some cases it did, and in many cases it didn't, as you're pointing out, for various reasons. It's a fascinating thing to bring up.
Well, I'm glad we talked about it, and I didn't get my answer, so I'm just going to have to guess. I also think it gets confusing when they have post-credit sequences in movies.
Oh, true.
Because it's like, well, then what is technically the last line? I still feel like it's the last line of the story, and that the bonus scenes tend to, you know, they don't really tend to be about dialogue anyway. But what is Ryan Reynolds, what's the last thing he says when he tells everybody to go home? Is the last words maybe just go home?
You mean the Ferris Bueller thing? I mean, I think it would probably be precisely the line from Ferris Bueller, whatever that was. Yeah, maybe go home.
I think he says go home.
Go home. Yeah. Go home. I think you're right.
But Ryan might have added a little extra grace note at the end with, you know, why don't you go jerk off on a Pop-Tart or something like that.
That is like him. But I don't think that was it.
That's not it. I'm going to go with go home.
Okay.
Because I close out every episode with the last line from a movie. And I think we can all agree that that one will suffice. And thank you once again to Rhett Reese, Open Mike Eagle, and Michael Arianda. This was so much fun. Really thank appreciate you. You guys. And as always, go home.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.